Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, July 9th, 2018. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. How are you, Andrew?
A little sunburned from my holiday, but otherwise I'm doing good.
And welcome back, and I'm glad you had a great holiday.
Mm-hmm.
John Martellaro, how's it going for you?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here, and hopefully you're not sunburned at all?
Nope.
Okay.
Good.
That's good. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor...
That's because I only do glamping.
Well... Yeah, actually, I can see that. I can see that you probably have Jeeves out there in his tuxedo and white gloves, and he's bringing mimosas in the morning.
Oh, now you're talking.
And when you say, Jeeves, what's my schedule today? He says, oh.
Strawberries on the deck. Yeah.
Yep. Strawberries on the deck. A dip in the pool, a massage, manicure, and then it just goes from there.
Drinks by the pool under the umbrellas.
That's right. Anyhow, I was saying we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is Jamf Now, and I use their service, and I love them. So I will tell you all about that soon. First, though, I guess instead of talking about John's glamping fetish, we'll talk about time hop. And for those of you that aren't up on the news, time hop had a big data breach, and the bad guys got away with account information for like 21 million users. So it includes names and some basic info and phone numbers. It doesn't include posts or photos, but phone numbers, that's a big deal. And I suppose I should take a step back, because when I brought this up before we started recording, the general question was, what's time hop?
Yeah.
So
who are they, and why do they have my data?
Yeah. So I find this ironic. At least 21 million user accounts are compromised, and it's amazing how many people have no idea what time hop is. So time hop is it's an app and a service that you use with the various social networks that you're signed up for. And what it does is it goes through your old posts on all these different networks and then pops up memories for you. So like for John today, it's probably going to pop up something about his glamping trip from 2 years ago and the incredible strawberry daiquiris they were having. But that's assuming, John, of course, you had signed up to use Time Hop. And... people that are using Facebook are familiar with this feature because Facebook copied it for their own memories thing. So periodically when you see something pop up, you know, hey, this happened for you.
So did you have to invoke this service in order to have your phone number in their database?
Yes. Yeah. This is something you would sign up to use just like any other social network. So if you never signed up, they don't have any info on you. So in your case, John, they don't have any info. I'm assuming since you didn't even know what they were,
right. There's
a high likelihood you never signed up for their service.
Yeah.
And Andrew, you didn't know about them either. Or am I conflating you with Brian?
So I was familiar with them. Like, I didn't recognize the name at first because they were popular about a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But my question was about the whole phone number thing. Like, was a phone number required in order to sign up for it?
Yes. Your phone number was part of the sign up process, which to me just seems kind of crazy because Time Hop's big concern about the phone numbers being taken is that someone could then take those phone numbers and try and get them ported over to their own phone or their own service. And then they've got your phone number. So anytime you try and do a two-factor authentication, they get the SMS with the code. Which means you can't log into something. Or they can try and log into various services you have. And when they get the two-factor authentication code, they can finish the login process. So TimeHop, which, by the way, doesn't use two-factor authentication for their service, they're saying, hey, if you haven't done the thing with your cell service provider where you lock down your account so that you have to have your own special code to be able to perform functions like moving a phone number to a different device or to a different account, or in some cases even changing some account services, you have to have that code. So they're saying, go to your phone service provider, and if you haven't set that up already, do it. And for me, I'm glad that even though I don't use TimeHop, that this is something that I set up years ago, because having my phone number locked down so that no one else can do anything with it just seemed like a prudent thing to do.
You know what bothers me, Jeff?
Hmm.
I have this enduring irritation with companies that expose their databases directly to the internet without taking very serious precautions. I mean, you know, we can do quantum computing. IBM's making great strides with that. Apple's doing great strides with facial ID. We have all this great technology around us. But when it comes to a database connected to the internet, it's as simple as plugging the Ethernet cable into the Linux server, and on the other end is Apache. And all you need to do is find a weakness in the server, and it's your system's directly exposed to the internet. And then there's no method of tracking a stream of data that's leaving. There should be some algorithmic mechanism, like your phone, where you can only enter your password so many times, where this system is a black box and it sits between the Apache server and the internet, and it monitors with AI techniques and other algorithms, you know, who's coming in, what they're doing, what data is going back out again. And as soon as it sees a stream, you know, not 21 million phone numbers, but, you know, 15, then it puts a halt on things. And it seems to be like possible technology, but nobody's using it and nobody's developed it. And when we have company after company weekly spilling its guts to the internet, I don't understand why we don't have better technology to protect these servers. That's my rant.
You know, I think that's a totally valid rant. And I'm surprised that so many companies have such big security holes. And I want to stop short of saying I'm surprised so many companies don't care about security, because I don't think that's the case. I think that a lot of these companies, they're just implementing their security measures in a myopic way. And so we end up with these big security breaches. And in some cases, I think it's kind of out of the company's control, because maybe they're using a platform that has a security weakness that gets discovered and then exploited, and they had no way of knowing it was there. Now they have to figure out how to patch it. But still, I mean, something like this, this is the sort of thing that makes me question, why should my phone number be a requirement for your social service?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are plenty of IT consulting services. I run across them from time to time in my research, companies that are well-known, have big names. They will consult with you. They will analyze the security policies and procedures of your network in your system. If only people would use them.
If only. Yeah. Well, my guess is that there are quite a few companies that are using them. And the reason I'm saying that is because think about all of the companies we never hear about.
Yeah, that's true.
They're the ones that have probably done this right and used their
Apple,
consultants. And
Amazon, IBM.
Yeah. Yep. So, anyhow, even if you didn't use TimeHop, this is a good reminder that if you haven't gone through the process with your cell service provider for getting that PIN security code thing on there so no one else can do anything with your account, go do it.
As I recall, about a year ago, somebody called up AT&T and they were able to achieve some level of access to somebody's account by knowing a little bit about them, and it raised our awareness of how AT&T authenticates people on the phone. And So I remember that from about a year ago. So hopefully the carriers are a lot smarter now about authenticating people who come in out of the blue.
Well, my guess is that the accounts that people were able to gain access to through that kind of social engineering thing are all accounts where the actual account owner hadn't set up the security code.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to try to find out how to set one of those up on my account, because I use a prepaid carrier, so I'm going to have to do some digging around.
Yeah, you're going to have to probably call their customer support and just ask them.
Okay.
Because different carriers, they have different systems set up for the way they do the lockdown thing. So, yeah, just call customer service and they'll get you taken care of, I'm sure.
All right.
I feel sorry for parents whose kids sign up right and left for every different social media service. Trying to keep track of all of this. You practically need a database of your own to keep track of what accounts and passwords your kids are signing up for on their phone while they're idly sitting for the bus stop. Oh, let's sign up for this. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a nightmare.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Oh, man. I'm so glad I don't have to try and keep track of all that. It's hard enough for me to keep track of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and our sponsor is Jamf Now. And what's really cool about that is that first, it's a service that I use, but second, it's a really useful service. So what Jamf Now does is it acts sort of like your personal IT and device management department. So when you have multiple iOS and macOS devices that you need to keep track of, and you want to make sure you know what apps are on there, you want to make sure that you have the settings right across all your devices, that's what Jamf Now lets you do. So let's say that you have a small or medium-sized business, and you have employees out in the field, and they're using iPhones and iPads for their job. You can set up these profiles so that the apps that your employees need are there. The network settings, the email settings, all of these other settings that they need to have to do their job, they can just be installed automatically. And then if you, say, have a device that gets lost or stolen, you can use Jamf Now to wipe it and brick it so no one else can use it. And it's just a really great system for making sure that all the settings that you expect to be on a device are there. It makes it easy to keep track of all the devices you have, and it's also really inexpensive to do. So what they do is they let you have up to 3 devices for free forever. So let's say you have an iPhone, an iPad, and a Mac. You can put all 3 of those into your free Jamf account and never have to pay to manage those devices. If you have more devices, that's okay. It's $2 per device per month. So it's really inexpensive to have a high-end multiple device management system set up and running, and it only takes minutes to get set up, and it's really easy to do. I've been so happy using Jamf Now with all of my devices, and so I would love for everyone else to have just that same comfort that comes from knowing I've got all my stuff under control. So here's what you guys need to do. Head over to their website, and it's jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO. That's jamf.com/TDO. When you go to that URL, it lets Jamf know that you heard about Jamf Now on daily observations. And then that gives everyone, you know, the big validation hug of, hey, you know, we're all working together to make everyone's life better. So go check it out. Jamf.com/TDO to try out Jamf Now. And thank you to Jamf for being our sponsor. All right. So the other thing that I want to talk about before we wrap up is this whole thing with China and facial recognition surveillance. And then I'll just go ahead and toss in right up front that Apple is reportedly working on their own facial recognition technology that could be used in a surveillance way, but I'm betting that's not Apple, how Apple wants to use it. But anyhow, they're only a couple years away from having their own technology that does this. But China is already testing this stuff in the field. And it makes me feel a little creeped out. And I'm curious what you guys think. I mean, I know we're not in China, but nonetheless, the technology on this scale is kind of creepy.
Can I go first, Andrew? Because I have another rant.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so I've already read in the news that their system has already been used in certain ways to track people and detain them if they do something bad, because, you know, China also has that, I forget what it's called, it's like a public score. So that, in conjunction with the facial recognition, is extremely scary. And recently we saw in the news too that Amazon is like trying to work with law enforcement for their own facial recognition. So it's a little too close to home now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I have a tough time understanding why every technical evolution in law enforcement is defined as creepy. So there was a time when law enforcement was primitive technologically and couldn't do anything. And the example I keep thinking of is a TV episode I saw the other night about a police officer who was jumped by an intruder, and they came face to face, and they were having this gathering afterwards, and they were going, you know, we got to figure out who that was. And the police officer said, I know who it was. I went to high school with him. So they went right away and found him. And it turned out he showed up at the station, but that was an aside. So police, law enforcement has done things like, you know, they have a computer in the car and they can instantly look up your license plate and find out if there's any wants and warrants on you. You know, there are body cams that serve useful purposes for law enforcement to put a check on police officer actions. So how is it that, because I'm just playing the devil's advocate here, so how is it that when police and law enforcement are able to do things thanks to technology that they could not do before in the pursuit of law enforcement, that that's instantly labeled as creepy? I'm just asking.
I can tell you why, for me, I label it as creepy. And, I mean, the technology in and of itself, I think, is just amazing. I mean, the ability to have a machine learning system that can recognize someone's face, much in the same way that we recognize another human's face, or our dogs recognize us when we come in the door. I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So the creepy part for me is part of the unknown, tempered with the historical abuse that we have seen from various governments around the world.
Right.
When they get a surveillance technology that they can use on a massive scale, and just how often that ends up getting abused in a way that is really bad for the population
They're
claiming to protect.
It's the specter of abuse that causes us to feel creepy.
Yes.
And at least in a democratic society, it's up to the citizenry to try to cooperate with their legislative councils on setting boundaries so that the technologies can exist and do what it's supposed to do. And there's checks and balances on the abuse and the misuse, and on social things that you may not want done. For example, as Andrew was talking about, the scoring system in China.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing.
That sorts it out for me better.
Yeah. Because it's, I mean, I'm totally fine with technology being used in ways that protects us, that enhances our well-being. It's the potential for abuse that gets me worried.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, do you guys think I am off base when I say the technology that Apple is supposed to be working on for facial recognition on this scale is probably not going to be used in a we'll go with creepy way?
Well, right. maybe it could be used in a very specifically defined way under Apple's technology development. Like, for example, if you're looking out for somebody specially who you know is on the terrorist list, and you're scanning people who walk into a football stadium, you know, and if you see a face that it doesn't match, you throw it away. There's no logging, no concern. But if it finds a hit, then it's reported to the stadium officials. So there'd be a scenario there where, you know, your own privacy was not at risk because you're not being cataloged to where you are. It's just you're looking for something specific, and only when you find it do you have a success. So I can imagine a situation like that where it would be helpful. And maybe something like that is what Apple's working on.
I mean, when I hear Apple is working on a system like that, I don't automatically assume that it's going to be surveillance like China is doing. They could just be maybe improving their algorithms in the Photos app because that can detect faces. Or maybe they're going to do something like that with the rumored Apple glasses. So something to do with augmented reality, maybe.
I could see that too. I could see something where Apple links it to your own contacts. So people that you've already added to your contacts list, you can get information about them when it sees their face.
How many times have you bumped into a friend at a party and you just say, I can't remember his name.
Right. Or you're at a conference where someone walks up to you and they clearly know you and you know you should know them, but you don't have context.
Right.
Because, yeah. I mean, like that happens for me occasionally where I'll be at one conference and someone will start talking to me and I know them from somewhere, but without the context, I can't place it, and it takes a while to sort it all out. And it turns out, oh, well, I was having this other conversation with them at a different conference 6 months ago.
I think you can always count on Apple to develop these technologies in a way that serve us and restrict it from being a total runaway when it comes to loss of control and privacy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I trust Apple with this technology a lot more than I trust China with it. Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. We have to wrap up. John, thanks for being here today.
You're welcome. Nice to be here.
And Andrew, thank you for being here as well.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
And thanks to Jamf Now for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, jamf.com/TDO, and set up your free Jamf Now account. 3 devices free forever, only $2 per device per month for anything else you need to add in. It's a really great deal. It's been really handy for me. So thank you to Jamf Now, and listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.